When it comes to weight management, we tend to focus on what we eat, but Noom's approach puts the focus on why we eat. That's a game changer. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up today.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba. We continue our team-by-team season previews to get you ready for the 2023 fantasy baseball season. We got a special one on tap, folks, not just because it's the NL West and the best division in baseball. That's not why. But we're talking Arizona Diamondbacks baseball, and that means I get two, not one, two of my good friends on the show. They're kind of a package deal. That's the way I felt. I felt bad if I just went to one or the other. It's like picking your favorite son. That would have been a bad deal. So I had to go to both of them and make this work. You can find one gentleman on the Twitter at Bogman Sports, the other one on the Twitter at Is It The Welsh. They're the members of the ITIL Army, actually creators of the ITIL Army. Is It The Welsh, Scott Bogman. How you doing, my friends?
What's up, Bubba? I feel like I haven't been on Bench with Bubba in forever. I'm excited to be back. And I do always enjoy that, like, Boggs, I think you and I are the predominant, like, if known by anything, Diamondback
duo.
Fans. Like, well, it's like when you start thinking about, like, people in association with teams and stuff. Like, our boy Vlad Sedler, he likes the Dodgers. And, you know, you kind of go through the motions. Justin Mason with the Giants and stuff like that. You and I are, like, the known Diamondback fans. I think it's, like, you, me, and I think Frankie Munoz, I think.
gotta be known for something.
Yeah.
We'll take it. You know, we are the Diamondbacks guys. Sometimes that's nice for us, but most of the time it's miserable.
So. It's pretty miserable.
It's fun. But before we get to the D-backs, like, you guys have a slew of stuff you're working on, so I didn't want to take the entire show talking about it. So I'm going to let you guys talk about it. So I went to you, Bogman. What do you got going on that people can check out?
Oh, yeah, we've got Hell Week over at In This League right now, where we go through position rankings one by one here. We did CIs on Monday. We got MI on Tuesday, outfield starting pitchers and overall coming up. So please check that out on whatever your podcast app you're listening on. And I'm over at Fantasy Pros doing stuff over there, the Dynasty Fantasy Football Pod with Pat Fitzmaurice, of course, the War Room at In This League with CK as well. CFB Winning Edge. You can find all my stuff over on my Twitter at Bogman Sports.
And Mr. Yes. Welsh, you are everywhere right now. So what
do you think? little too much of everywhere. I'm literally everywhere. Actually, our buddy Chris, Baseball Pods, messaged me today, and he was like, he's just like, hey, just want to make sure you still want the pods in the tournament, the Baseball Pods tournament. And I was about to be like, buddy, I'm on all of them. Like, you're not going to have a baseball tournament if I don't have some affiliation. It's only because, obviously, In This League is the home bred, like Bogman said. Check out the In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast to check out all those fun shows. I do Prospect One, which is a prospect-based show, which has been a little hiatus for like 2 weeks, but it's back tomorrow or Tuesday, whenever you're listening to this. And then, like, the thing that we're talking about, I'm literally everywhere. Fantasy Pros, 3 days a week right now. I do once a week on CBS. We just did an ADP battle. And I am also now on Tuesdays on Rates and Barrels with DVR and Eno. But DVR, baby. And then baby. So I've been filling in. So it's a couple days a week with me and Eno and a couple days with Al and Eno. So Rates and Barrels, CBS, Fantasy Pros, In This League, a lot of places. But I am, like I said, I'm glad to be back here with
Backfields.
You. Yeah, Backfields. I'm all
red. Your own house.
Not back pages, backfields.
Right now, yeah, I'm taking pictures. I have, dude, I cannot get over this, not to keep talking about it, but like I've done I do lots of like goofy things, and I get lots of like semi-viral things that happen. My most famous is my Fernando Tatis Grand Slam call, which made it on ESPN and stuff. But like, I took a picture of Greg Maddux and Jacob deGrom the other day, and it is still going. It is on every day. Another big account picks it up, and one that it's like an Instagram account that has like a million followers put it in there, and I'm just getting flooded, dude. Like, I am absolutely flooded. I'm getting all their comments. It's the worst thing ever. And as I posted, like, it's the most viral where I'm not actually being viral. Like, my photo is going all over the place, but I have no association with it except getting all the tags. It's
got a lot of dings on that phone, huh?
Yeah, it's annoying. Dude, I'll look you right now. I'm going to look right now while we're doing this show. Let me pull up Twitter, and let's see if I have a notification. Yep, there you go, right there. Actually, it was a CBS one, but there's a lot of them.
And oh, look at me.
Baseball history.
Yeah. Humble brag. Go. Oh,
baseball,
this is a CBS one. Nut.
Let's see how many they have. They've got 835 likes in like 12 hours if this comes in. Not a lot of retweets. It's just absurd. So follow me on Twitter and make my own stuff go viral.
Oh, man, you know what this sounds like to me? It's like we're supposed to feel sorry for the guy that's always wanted the attention. This is like ridiculous right now.
So humble. He's so humble.
I miss you guys so much.
Yeah, why aren't we ever invited on the show?
Yeah, come on.
War is always open. Do not pull that crap with me. Right
I don't
now.
Think I've been on this show since 2019, Bubba.
Oh, we're keeping dates. That's good. You're like a bad scoring lover records. Right there. I'll put you in line.
I keep receipts.
Oh, Jesus. All right, let's talk D-backs. Let's get really angry about life. Let's talk Diamondbacks. Actually, there's hope this year, actually. I'll say that much. They might finish ahead of the Giants, because the Giants suck. Talk Diamondbacks, though, and we'll start with Christian Walker. There's really no method to the madness of this order. We'll start with Christian Walker, and he's got an ADP over the last couple of weeks of about 135-ish on Draft Champions. We know the bounce-back year that Walker had last year. Is this something we're looking forward to in 2023? Is this who he's supposed to be? What are your thoughts on this, Boggs?
I mean, this is my guy. He hit 285 in the second half. He has all that raw power, and he finally started to kind of, you know, tap into it and hit for average in the second half. I think there's meat on the bone. He's never coming off the field because of the gold glove. So, you know, this is a dude that he belongs in this tier that he's in. It's kind of, you know, it's Vinny P, it's Nate Lowe, it's Rhys Hoskins, CJ Cron, and Walker belongs in that group. And I have him just below Nate Lowe in that group right there. So he's my second in that kind of spot where he's at, and a great power addition if you're looking for it in fantasy.
You on the same page, Welsh?
Yeah, pretty much. You want to know what, by the way, I was over at Rangers today. Nate Lowe, I wish I had taken a picture. I didn't. And I meant to ask him, but I didn't want to be rude about it because I had already made a comment to him about it. He has lost serious weight. I don't know. Just really? This is a random aside. It has nothing to do with him. But like, I don't know if you guys, you've seen like pictures of Nate Lowe and you saw him last year. I think he lost 25 to 35 pounds. Like, it is serious weight. That dude is.
Are you saying that he's in the best shape of his life?
That's what I was waiting for. Buddy. I was waiting for that.
Best shape of his life.
Best shape of his life.
So I just want to throw that out with Nate Lowe since we're talking about it. I really like him. But yeah, no, I mean, Christian Walker is just like a solid first base bat that Bogman and I just did that quarter infield episode. And what you look at is like, you've got that high priority of guys. And then there's this interesting, okay, middle tier. There's so many guys at like 8 to 14 that are interesting, down to Rowdy Tellez, to Christian Walker, who hit, you know, the 36 homers this past year. Low strikeout rate as well, under 20%, which is pretty crazy. And projections, most of all projection systems have him bouncing back on batting average, because the dude had the worst BABIP in the entire league in the first half, completely bounced back in the second half. Homers don't seem sustainable for a lot of them, but I think that's going to continue. And I think they're on a little bit on the low side. 30 homers, 250 batting average, probably in the 80-80, somewhere in there, 75-80 range of between run and RBI. I think this is a solid first base, you know, 8 to 12. And, you know, Diamondbacks are not super sexy, so you're going to get him. Like, an interesting one is like Rhys Hoskins. Like, yeah. I feel like Rhys Hoskins is the number one of that tier that people want. But I don't know, like Nate Lowe and him and Rowdy Tellez are all really interesting to me if you miss out on the position or you're looking for corner infield. So I'm down with Christian Walker.
And it's a fun grouping there that if you need power mid-draft or so, a bunch of 30 home run guys just sitting there when, you know, power is so down in recent years, and you got guys like Walker and Lowe and Rhys and the others to Rowdy even, yeah.
Well, you know, dude, like if you, depending like however you're going to like attack roster construction, if you're like really cognizant of the position scarcity that kind of stinks in some areas and like you're like, okay, I want to have third base locked up and I want to have second base and I'm getting some outfield. And maybe you even took some more middle line guys that are not big power guys and you were balancing a little bit more speed. You could literally double tap and I'm trying to think of like what the rounds would be. Maybe it's 7 and 8 or 8 and 9, whatever it is. You could go and get like a Walker and a Tellez. I mean, and that's maybe 70 homers that you just put together at that first base and corner infield spot that you could put. So that's what I think is really unique about that position and these type of guys. And that's what makes Walker just a little bit extra, that there are guys going ahead of him and he's just going to become a value.
For sure. Let's talk Ketel Marte here. A guy going past ADP 200 right now. You know, in the bouncy ball year of 2019, he had the 32 home runs. Since then, kind of a shell of that power stuff, obviously battling injuries and whatnot. Bogman, what are your thoughts on Marte in 2023 as we're kind of he's going later than ever right now?
Yeah, Bogman, what's your thoughts on Ketel Marte? They're going to be great, right?
I'm out on Ketel Marte. And it's frustrating because you can see the talent. It's in there. But the dude has been hurt last couple of years, and even his 137 games that he played, he was maybe healthy for 65 of them. You know, he gutted it through. He tried to make it happen, but you know, his power is mainly from the right side, and most of the time he hits from the left side. And I'm just done waiting on him to come around. I think second base isn't deep, but I think there's enough guys there. To where I'm just not interested in Ketel Marte anymore. And I think this is a guy, we got him projected to, you know, maybe hit 2. And that would be awesome if he sticks there. But with an injury or with some bad performance, I could see him moving down the order too. So I'm just out on Ketel anymore.
But you, Welsh?
I'm not out. I think it's, we've cooled our jets and he's coming at an crazy cheap cost right now, but like for right reasons. I think if, as Diamondback fans, as people that watch this game a lot, like he's so weirdly unique in that he puts up every single year like a top 10 or 15 of the hardest hit balls in all of baseball, which is crazy. And then this past year it's in the upper percentiles. I think it was like 115. I'm trying to get to it. It was 115 on the dot. Uniquely, actually, because we've seen this differently, is that average EV sometimes would sit under 90. It was exactly 90 this past year, but he presses. The guy like puts the entire team on his back to be that big home run hitter. He's trying to, you'll see him, dude, the amount of times last year you would see him just swing through his shoes on two strike counts every single time, just trying to murder the ball, is not who he was a couple years ago.
Oh, look, what a surprise. 0-2 yep. Count, and Ketel takes the hardest swing he possibly can. What he does.
You would think he would have like a Fernando Tatis shoulder injury with how he swings. I'm telling you. And that wasn't the approach he had before. Probably, I'm really hopeful that that's going to change. And if you do see that change, and especially his two strike approach changes a little bit, then I think he can get back to being a solid batting average guy. He's going to hit 2 for the Diamondbacks. I think they're going to, again, be hyper-aggressive running. So I think there's run and RBI opportunities. Christian Walker is going to be hitting behind him. I just think like post 150, because second base stinks so bad. What if you get 20 homers out of him and you get 75, 80, something in that range, and he's not trying to press and be a big homer guy? He's a great contact player who just hits the ball hard. He just doesn't cost anything. And I know you can be out on him. I'm out on like Whit Merrifield, but Whit Merrifield is big, crazy, I think, decline also in like athleticism. This is still a young enough player, 29 years old this year, that I think it can be turned around and we can get back to that skill set that we saw before, because he's still hitting the ball really hard. So I'm down. If I screwed up second base or really kind of screwing the pooch on like middle infield, I'll still get down with Ketel.
Ketel Marte or Jake Cronenworth?
I'll go Crony, because it's just a better team. I mean, I think he also beat him in run in RBI last year. Going to play first this year. I'm kind of down on the power. I'll tell you this. I wouldn't be surprised if Ketel actually hit more homers than Cronenworth this coming year. I could see that happening. But I think Cronenworth is a safer, better option all around. I think he's going to win 3 of the 5 categories.
Same for me. Yeah. Cronenworth.
You're Marte.
Two spots ahead.
You're anti-Marte.
Yeah, yeah, you don't count. Whit Merrifield or Ketel Marte, Boggs?
Ketel there.
Okay, Boggs, Whit Merrifield, or no, I'm just kidding. Ketel Marte or Gene Segura?
I've got Marte ahead of Segura.
Okay. Well, kind of gives me an idea of what we got going on here. Yeah. Let's have some fun here, because any real show that previewed the Arizona Diamondbacks would start with this player, but this is not a real show. So we're going to talk about the top prospect in baseball, potentially, with an ADP close to 70 right now, and that is one Corbin Carroll, who we know has got the power-speed combo, was hit for average throughout the minors. We're going to give Welsh the floor on this one, Mr. Prospect Guy, and tell us, what should we expect from Carroll? Because I have a tough time drafting younger prospect type players, especially that early in drafts, but some people believe it's worth it.
Yeah. Mr. Prospect Guy, by the way, I hear that all the time, Bubba. You know what that is?
Oh, I'm
that
sorry. Did you not want to be the prospect guy? The prospect one.
You know what you just called me? You just called me. You're like, hey, big guy. That's like, that was the version of that with prospects. You're like, hey, it's Mr. Big Guy.
All three of us have been called most of our life. Gotcha.
Yeah. I get that. And I'm actually with you on that. Like, I love prospects and stuff, and I do the show, but in redraft, I don't really like hone in on prospects. Corbin Carroll, if I can take myself out of like the homer side of it, like, he's a different story. He is literally the fastest player in baseball. I was actually looking at this. If you go and look at the sprint speeds, 90 feet, you look at the 290 feet sprint speeds, check this out. He's not only the fastest player in all of baseball. If you look at, like, you know, the gap between, let's like say player number one and number, or I'm sorry, number three and number four, or number 10 and 11, you'll see like 0.01, right? It'll be like 3.82 to 3.83, blah, 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 blah. The gap, the difference between Corbin Carroll and number two, the second fastest in the entire league, is 0.08. That's not, I know that doesn't sound like a lot. That's astronomically different than every other player in baseball. He's the fastest player in baseball, 200 plus ISO, which I've had some pushback on people talk about that, obviously, because it's extra base hits and he's really fast and the ISO kind of pushes up or the speed kind of pushes up some of the ISO, which is not necessarily not true. But the guy also had like 27 homers across all of his stops last year. He's maintained a high ISO, which also means he gets extra base hits. He's made lots of good contact. He's the fastest player in baseball. He hit 25 plus homers last year. I don't know what more you want. Okay, he's not 6'3", 225 pounds. I get it. But the guy's gotten jacked. He's worked with players the entire time he's been with the Diamondbacks and helping them with their swings. He's a super smart, competitive player that pays attention to baseball. And I believe that he can be next level. We actually did a player debate on CBS, which was Corbin Carroll versus Eloy Jimenez, which was actually really fun. If you think about your team construction, the difference is like, yes, Corbin Carroll is volatile. There's a lot of adjustments that are going to happen to baseball, but he's a true five-tool player. If he's leading off of the Diamondbacks, which could be true, that might take RBIs off of it. But I think the guy's going to, I personally believe he will lead the team in steals. And I've been saying this a lot. And I know that is like McCarthy across the board. McCarthy's like the projected leader everywhere, which I don't blame anybody. He was actually like the eighth fastest player in all of baseball. But there's no way if Corbin Carroll's leading off, the guy's not going to run. He stole 33 bases last year. So he's going to run. I think he's crazy valuable. And if you get him at the little bit of a cost in like the 70, 80s, I think it's a slam dunk. When he's in the 50s, 60s, it's a little bit harder to stomach. But you know what? Team construction's out there. And also just think of what guys like Bobby Witt did. I do not think it's out of the realm of possibility that Corbin Carroll could put up within 90 to 95% of what Bobby Witt did last year. And Corbin Carroll's a better hitter. He's just a better contact hitter. And Bobby Witt hit 20 homers, 30 stolen bases. Corbin Carroll had 18 homers and 26 stolen bases. It's pretty good. That's going to be pretty good. And that will get you the return of like a pick just outside the top 50 if you had to go there.
Pretty good. Bogman, are you on the same page with the Welsh on this? Or are you a little more timid on this one? Yeah.
No, I absolutely love Corbin Carroll. I have him at 59 overall. So, 11 spots higher than his ADP right now. And look, you know, it's not just, you know, the speed. The guy had a 240 ISO in the bigs last year. So there's pop in that bat too. And he did not get hot once when he was with the Diamondbacks in the bigs last season. Yeah, I know the you know, frame is slight, all that stuff. He's a skinny looking dude, but I mean,
not a big guy.
Yeah, Plant, not a big guy. That is for sure. He's not one of us.
Hey there, buddy. Hey there, big guy. We should call him. I'm going to go find him. I'm like, hey, big guy. What's up, Corbin?
Yeah,
hey,
just call him Gigantor. That's what you should call him. But
he got jacked. I'm telling you, I've said this everywhere. So
did he get Gavin Lux jacked? Jeremy Pena jacked? What kind of jacked are you
talking about? No, physically.
No one Jeremy Pena jacked. I mean, come on.
Oh, did you see that, dude?
I did. He looks like Captain America.
Let's see it. Like, I can't, yeah. I don't have, oh, look, there's a little bit of that right there. You see that?
Yeah.
I don't have the Jeremy Payne deal. Let's see yours, Boggs.
Nobody does.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because Hulk Hogan was like another human being.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, Hulk Hogan wishes he could walk right now. The stuff with Corbin Carroll. I mean, let's also think of what Julio did, what Bobby Witt did when they came up. You know, not every rookie hits, of course, and I understand that. But you know, these guys, you got to take a gamble somewhere. And taking a number one prospect as the gamble is much safer than reaching down later for somebody else, someone that may not make a team. So Carroll's going to make this team and hit leadoff. So he's in a great spot.
What do you think is a bigger gamble? Taking, what did you say Carroll's ADP is right now?
On 70, like 69.5.
Okay. Oh, nice. Oh yeah, I see. Actually, I see 71.1 if you look January 1st on in Draft Champions. What is a bigger gamble?
Look at obvious again, like usual. Bobby and Welsh does not look at the outline, so that's good.
No, I didn't look at the outline at all. I didn't look at that one, but I did January 1st. What's a bigger gamble, him or Byron Buxton at whatever the hell Buxton's at 104?
Buxton all day long.
Okay, but I mean, you're talking about a rookie that barely played, that people have every excuse and why he's not going to succeed in the 70s. But you're still saying Buxton 30 spots lower is a bigger gamble than Corbin Carroll. I think that says something.
I think so too.
Says we're smart. next up on the D-backs roster here, the stolen base king that Welsh says will not be the king this year, and one Jake McCarthy, 23 steals last year in limited time with the D-backs, 11 in the minors. He's run crazy his entire career pretty much throughout the minor leagues, and really got it done this past year. ADP of about 107 over the last couple of weeks here. Boggs, what are your thoughts on McCarthy this year? Because earlier in the season, Ross Research had him leading off. Now Carroll's leading off and McCarthy's hitting third, which makes a little more sense, I think. But what's your thoughts on McCarthy?
I mean, I like McCarthy, but I am a little worried that he might be a one-trick pony. So I worry about that a little bit with McCarthy. This is another guy with great speed, great outfielder, shouldn't come off the field much. Is he going to stick at three if he even opens at three? I think that's a little questionable how they are going to mix up three, four, five down to six for the D-backs. And, you know, there's potential for Corbin Carroll to leave the leadoff spot and go down to three, which would be a better spot, of course, if he's hitting that well. But yeah, I don't know. Like, his Savant numbers were, you know, pretty blue outside of his speed. So I'm a little less hyped on Jake McCarthy, I think, than others are.
Welsh?
I still think he's fun, like outside the top 100 and everything like that. But he had an almost like 40 point difference between his actual batting average and his expected. It was like 35 points, 283 batting average, which was awesome. But he had a 249 expected batting average. Over 70 point difference.
His BABIP was 349.
Yeah, way inflated. His slug was down from 427 to an expected 357, and he had an under 300 ex-WOBA. So those are all whatever they are. They're obviously expected numbers, and they don't tell you everything. But I don't think he's as good of a hitter as we got in that early debut. That doesn't mean he can't succeed. But like, I wouldn't be surprised. They have him hitting third. I have a hard time believing that's going to continue. Yeah. If he does really keep hitting, okay, great. He doesn't strike out a whole bunch. He doesn't walk a whole bunch either, though. The stolen bases, I'm a little worried, could start coming out of a lower part of the order, like a six or a seven. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I think he's okay. I've been comparing him. I feel like him and Stephen Kwan are kind of like the same realm. And I'd rather have him, because I think Kwan is a flat two-trick pony. I don't believe there's power. There's no RBIs to speak of. It's batting average. And you're hoping there's some runs. And then the stolen bases, I just don't really believe. So I guess he could be a three category player. I think McCarthy has a potential, if hitting three and does work, could be a five category player. So I prioritize McCarthy over Kwan, but I'm not really massively huge on either one of them, honestly.
Fads come and go, and nowhere more than in the world of weight loss. That's why Noom has created weight management programs that are made to last. Noom uses science and personalization so you can manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. And they help you understand the science behind your eating choices and why you have those cravings. Noom's personalized courses are easy to follow and will help grow your confidence with tools you can put into practice on day one. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. And based on a sample of 4,272 Noomers, 98% say Noom helps change their habits and behaviors for good. So stop chasing health trends and join the millions who have lost weight with Noom. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up for your trial today.
All righty, let's go to another position in the offload, or DH, potentially with the Diamondbacks. One of the two big pieces that came over in the Dalton Varsho trade, and that is Lourdes Gurriel Jr., ADP of about 222. We know Gurriel had a very rough season last year, only 5 homers, 3 stolen bases, still at 291, though, second best in his career. But I don't know. There's a lot of disappointments last season. So, Welsh, what are your thoughts on Gurriel in the desert?
Yeah, I'm not, like, overly excited about it. I do like the high batting average. I think if – okay, so here's a scenario. I actually could see if Lourdes is hitting really well, but he's not having, you know, a whole lot of runners in, because where do they have him at roster research? Probably like 6 or 7 or something like that. Yeah. I could actually see Lourdes hitting 3 for this team. I actually think he makes a little bit more sense hitting 3, driving in some of these guys, especially if a guy like McCarthy falters and they wanted to keep Cattell in the leadoff spot. They don't really have a ton of other options. Like, maybe you could bring Rojas back up if you want, but I could see a guy like Lourdes Gurriel, an established veteran hitter who over the last 3 seasons has had 2 seasons above 290, and the other was 276. The guy's never hit under 276 in his entire career. So this is a good contact hitter. If they're going to be playing the manufacturer run game, why would you not want a guy like Lourdes in there? You could move those guys around. They're stealing bases. And then you got Christian Walker to come in here. So I think that provides some upside. But at the same time, I think there's a lot of platoony things that are going to be going on with the Diamondbacks. LaGoria is not guaranteed to play every day. You've got Rojas sitting out here. You've got the catchers. You've got the outfield situation. Kyle Lewis is out there. Corbin Carroll might not always play versus lefties. We really don't know what the Diamondbacks are going to do right now. So I'm uncertain about Lourdes, and his track record outside of like batting average is just not something that I'm trying to buy into. It's like almost a 20-point dip on the XBA from his batting average. He's just not a big power guy anymore. Best case scenario, I think you're looking at like 15-70-70, something like that, but the high batting average could boost those RBI up. I'm only chasing if I'm probably trying to get a little bit of a batting average boost.
What about you, Boggs?
Yeah, I'm with the Welsh on that one. And you know, it's going to be weird to see these outfield rotations, because do you go with just like the best defensive outfield ever with Corbin Carroll, Jake McCarthy, and Kyle Lewis out there? You know, Alec Thomas is somewhere in this mix as
Alec Thomas actually said to be the center fielder. Alec Thomas, Corbin Carroll, and McCarthy, that's the best defensive
center. I mean, it's crazy.
You could have that one.
It's crazy. Yeah, I mean, hasn't Lewis, like, won Rookie of the Year? Did he win a Gold Glove that year? I mean, he was good,
too. I don't
think
he won a Gold Glove. He just falls apart. He's broken. Injured.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the thing, is at the beginning of the year, what does this rotation look like? Because right now we have him set at DH. How many games is Longoria going to get at DH as well? You know, how are they going to mix that up? So Gurriel is a good, he's a very high floor player at the end of your draft. If you've kind of taken, you know, some risks, if you've taken some risk, get a guy like Gurriel and know that, you know, he's going to be pretty steady, but he's not going to, he ain't going to win it for you. But he might level out some of those risks that you've already taken.
Yeah, it's a bummer, because Gurriel looked like he had high hopes one day of being a 20-plus home run guy year after year, and that just fell apart in a big way. Let's talk Josh Rojas. 23 stolen bases last year, 9 home runs. Nice little season, one would say, for Rojas. Second base, third base eligible, ADP of around 206. Right now, you mentioned Longo is in town. That's a threat to potentially take some third base time. There's a lot of moving pieces, as you guys have mentioned, in Arizona. But what are we thinking about Josh Rojas coming off of that season, Bogman?
I mean, it was a great season for him. I'm a little worried. Just Torey Lovullo does not like running, and he's going to have to figure it out, because he's got a lot of guys that can run. And Rojas was outstanding last year. I think he was only caught like 3 times or whatever, trying to steal third base sucks. So it's nice to have a guy like this that can steal you some bases, but there's not a lot of power there. 9 homers in 125 games last year, 270. Like, if he loses, I'm just afraid of him losing stolen bases and losing most of his value, because that's where the majority of it is right now. But if you look at his track record, the guy can run, and he should run, and he could be the back end of double steals and stuff like that with this roster, depending on where they put guys. So you can squint and see more upside, but you can also, you don't have to squint too hard to see some downside too. So I like Rojas. but I'm, you know, tepid on drafting him. I'm not reaching for him at all.
What about you, Welsh?
I think I like him a little too much. I'm trying to like taper myself a little bit. He might end up playing like super utility for this team. He's set at third. I think he's going to play some short. Nick Ahmed's always hurt. He could play in the outfield. He's just a guy that's going to be able to move all around. I really have a hard time with the majority of players. And maybe it's just a little bit like contradictory of what I'm saying with McCarthy, but like, I have a hard time looking at any players that stole significant bases and believing you're going to see significant decreases based off of the bases being smaller on both sides and runners not being able to hold or pitchers not being able to hold runners as much. So I just like when I look at like the bad X has Rojas for 13 stolen bases. It's almost cut. They almost cut him in half and less in just a few less games. I just don't know if I buy that. Lavella is the key here. If they let these guys keep running and stealing, the Diamondbacks could lead baseball in stolen bases between McCarthy, Rojas, Carroll, Alex Thomas can run. I mean, they could do it if they wanted to, but is Lavello going to put kind of a stop to that? I don't see why, because this team is not a powerhouse team. They have to manufacture. They've got to move runners over. This is how you win baseball if you're the Diamondbacks. And I think Rojas plays a really important role. If I'm being honest and why I brought him down a little bit from my ranks, he's probably at best a 15-15 guy. If maybe it's 14-20, something like that. But what's unique about the Diamondbacks, I think a majority of their players, actually all of them, except Corbin Carroll, come at this cost that even I think their middle to low impact is like really good. Like they're going to pay for themselves. I don't think these are a lot of guys that you have to reach for. Corbin Carroll's a little bit more, but even into the pitchers we're going to talk about with like Gallen, Christian Walker, and guys like Lourdes and Rojas, you just are not overpaying for them. So even if they don't hit like a maximum value, I still think you're getting your return. And you know, Rojas, it's built around some stolen bases.
Quick hitter here. Nick Ahmed, you mentioned ADP is 607. Any deepest of leagues relevance to him? Either one of you.
No,
I mean, maybe. Yeah. I mean,
in what league?
NL only.
Yeah, I guess. Like, I don't think the guy's healthy. I wouldn't be shocked if he's off this team and they just handed it over. Jordan Lawler is a guy that there are rumors he might come up at some point this year. So don't put that past. If the Diamondbacks are not winning games, they get rid of Ahmed and they give that job to Lawler. I don't think Ahmed, even though he's a Gold Glove shortstop, is a guy anymore that's going to be able to stave off any of these players. He is always hurt.
And we don't know if he's that anymore because he hasn't played the last 2 years.
Yeah. 17 yeah, games last year is a little rough. Yeah. You guys mentioned Alec Thomas as well. He's going at around 434 right now. I know there's platoon questions, but you mentioned his defense, the chance to run some bags. Is he worth any gamble and drafts for you guys?
It's probably like an NL-only guy again, unfortunately. Like I have higher hopes for him. But I just don't know what it play. I honestly don't have a gauge on what this rotation is going to fully look like right now. Kyle Lewis kind of throws a wrinkle into things and they've just got multiple people. Lourdes Gurriel obviously does. It looks like Alex is going to be the center fielder. He's going to go play for Team Mexico in the WBC, which I personally don't love. I'd love to be him to be here with the Diamondbacks and working. But I think at this point, unless something really alters in his game, though, that's another dude. Last year, I had a picture. He's just like got jacked. He's really gotten big, but he hasn't translated. His dad's used to be the physical. What was it? It was like the head trainer of players for the White Sox. I mean, so these are like gym rat type of dudes, and he's gotten really big. Alec Thomas looks like the type of guy that can hit 20 homers. He just is not, his approach is not there, you know, suboptimal ISO, batting average is 231. He needs some changes in his game. So I just don't love the idea like he's going to be with Team Mexico during that time. So it's probably an NL only for me for Alec Thomas and, you know, until we see something else.
Boggs?
Yeah, I mean, I think Alec Thomas's value becomes much bigger if there's an injury for the Diamondbacks or if they decide they're deep in the outfield and go ahead and trade him for a reliever or, you know, a back end starter or something like that. And he goes somewhere where he can play every single day. But other than that, yeah, like Welsh said, an all-only guy.
We'll put him on the Reds. Yeah. Reds playing that ballpark. There you go. Yeah,
he'd be good there for sure. A little Jesse Winker type stuff. Bogman, for you here, the catching situation is interesting. You know, they traded Varsho, bring back Gabriel Moreno, big time. I've been good prospect for Toronto because they had too many catchers there. You still have Carson Kelly, who plays decent defense and wants to hit, and they want to play him. But you also have Gabriel Moreno, who you traded for, who has a good hit tool. How do you see that playing out when Kelly's got an ADP of 422 Moreno has an ADP of 249.
Yeah, I think most people are with it here. Obviously, if you're looking in terms of fantasy, Moreno is the guy you want. Carson Kelly showed us nothing. He'll go through like little nice streaks of hitting the ball and hitting doubles and maybe driving one out every once in a while. He'll go on little hot streaks, but mainly he's back there for working with the pitchers and his defense. So I'm not interested in drafting Carson Kelly pretty much anywhere. Moreno could be good. I just don't know how much playing time he's going to get this season. So I'm just a void on both catchers right now. And Carson Kelly's the last guy left, Bub, from the Goldie deal, which makes me mad. So,
No, we went there. We somehow got there 30 minutes into the show. Yes.
What a deal, Bugs.
Welsh, what do you got on Moreno and Kelly?
Yeah, I'm not interested in either one of them this year. I think Moreno's a great buy right now in Dynasty. He'll be given the job at some point, except the Diamondbacks always love to carry multiple catchers. Carson Kelly's going to stick around all year, so I just don't see them, you know, just giving the entire thing to Moreno. Madison Bumgarner tends to like, I could be off here, but he tends to like a specific catcher, and I believe that would be Carson Kelly this year, someone they've worked with. So I just don't know if they would throw a guy like Moreno in with a veteran like that. So like Kelly's going to get time. Moreno's going to get time. Maybe Moreno is going to start lifting the ball a little bit more, hits it really hard, and he'll start, you know, doing a little bit of that. He can steal a few bases. It's just not going to be fantasy worthy. Maybe in like a deep, I mean, like when you're talking about like NFBC stuff and it's two catchers and you've got to roster a whole bunch, I actually would rather take Moreno over Kelly because I think what Moreno can do impacts the ball more. Kelly's going to have more playing time, but at the end of the day, they're just going to eat each other up. And both of them combined might put up like a catcher 14 in a league, but you wouldn't want both of them. So they're a pass.
All right, let's head to the mound. And we'll talk a little Zach Gallen here. Great season last year, throwing 184 innings, by far the most in his career. 12 wins, the most in his career. Ratios were outstanding. His third time in 4 years with a sub-3 ERA. Which was great. Strikeouts dipped a bit, but the walks also dipped with him. He was a really, really, really solid arm. He had that stretch of no runs given up for a long, long time that helped him as well until he went to San Francisco and the Giants beat him down. But we don't have to talk about that.
No, we don't have to Bogman, talk about that, right?
ADP of around 75. What are we thinking about Gallen this year? Because I know I've got a few shares already.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a good deal for him. This is a guy you saw in the second half of what his potential could be. This is a guy that could win a Cy Young, and I don't think a lot of people will be very surprised by that, maybe a little surprised, but it wouldn't be shocking based on what he did in the second half last season. We've kind of been waiting for him to take that next step, and I think it's here, and this is a true ace. This is a top 20 pitcher in my opinion, and I think he's, you know, kind of coming at a deal right now, so I'm pushing my chips in for Gallen for sure.
Yep.
What about you, Welsh?
Obviously agree. One thing I think it's really interesting, I have to go through and look at all of these, but if you start to look at like pitch breakdowns on guys, and you look at like whiff rates and stuff like that, I'm very interested sometimes to look at exit velocity on pitches to see, you know, because what that's going to immediately tell you is like, okay, this is the pitch that guys like bean. You know, you'll see that on Hunter Green. I was just talking about him. Like Hunter Green, nobody squares up that change up or that slider, but what they do is they wait on the fastball and it's got like, smoky. You know, yeah, it's like a 91 EV or something like that. Zach Gallen does not have an exit velocity that is 88 or higher on any single pitch he throws. So just think about that. Nobody lights any of those pitches up directly. They have big, big spin. It looks like he added a little bit of spin kind of across the board, a decent amount, almost 100 RPM on the fastball this past year, which had a little bit more whiff. I think you kind of want to dead the changeup, which it looks like he didn't dead the changeup, but he brought the curveball and then back. Bottom line, you can like look at all that fun stuff. People don't square up the ball. He goes deep into games. He does a decent job of getting his strikeouts. He doesn't walk. And this is a, you know, sub 2.5 or sub, you know, 3 ERA player for multiple years. I love Zach Gallen. This is the homer thing that came out of me. This is the lowest career Sierra he ever had. I'm a big buyer because even if the Diamondbacks kind of stink, he just goes deep into games and he's going to get you those quality starts. And he seems to be one of those guys that just, he has that tear he does every year where he is maybe the most dominant pitcher in baseball. I mean, he will have somewhere between a 5 and 8 start stretch in any given season where he is at least top 5 in SPs. And on top of it, he's just consistent in general. And everybody in the world has said it. literally might be the greatest fair trade of all time the Diamondbacks did, Jazz for Gallen. And where
the Diamondbacks, same thing when I mentioned his name, I'm like, God, that's such a good trade. Yeah, dude, you don't see it every day.
The Diamondbacks they are masochists. They love to be choked and beaten when it comes to trades. They're the worst on the planet. They get hosed every single time. Bogman's favorite. It's the worst, except in that trade. That trade is the one that is like one for one. It's crazy how those two are going. It'd be awesome if they could look at that trade and compare it to, like, you know, when you traded Dansby Swanson or when you traded Paul Goldschmidt or you made any other of your horrific, horrific moves.
That were always cost you at least three tokens, Welsh. let's move on to Merrill Kelly here. This is a guy that I see in a ton of draft boards when I get to later rounds and I look at him. I'm like, okay, 200 innings last year. Awesome. He's usually good for 150 plus. He's an innings eater at that point in the draft. Ratios are inconsistent. Not a massive strikeout guy, but an ADP of 255 over the last couple of weeks. Any interest in a guy like this, Boggs?
Yeah. I mean, like you said, how many guys threw 200 innings last season? Eight. And he was one of the eight that threw over 200 innings. And I think, you know, when you get down to this portion of the draft and you're drafting a guy like Merrill Kelly, this is what have you already drafted? Have you drafted risky pitchers? Do you have some consistent pitchers and you could be reaching for upside? He's a conditional pick for sure for what you already have on your team, but you got to know this guy is safe. He's going to be decent in wins. If you're a quality starts league, that's nice. A lot of people went to innings pitched as a category during the pandemic and have not switched back. So, you know, a guy that threw 200 innings is also valuable for you. So he is a nice, safe pick for you late in the draft. Not a ton of upside there. I think what he did last year is probably what you're going to get again this year, somewhere in that same neighborhood. And, you know, decent team, like you said, improving. Hopefully the bullpen cannot screw it up again like it did last year, being the worst bullpen in the bigs. But Merrill Kelly is going deeper and deeper into games every single year, and it's been a joy to watch this guy actually work. Not a lot of guys go to the foreign leagues and come back and work, and he absolutely has.
Good. You agree?
Yeah. I believe Boggs, by the way, this will be one of his top three highest shares players. Yeah, you love. I like
Kelly. I will homer out at the end of a draft and take Merle.
He's so cheap. Yeah, he's so cheap. I dig that the guy has lowered his home run to fly ball three straight years. The hard hit was the lowest of his career this year. I mean, he just continuously does it. His home run per nine obviously was down in that number. I just don't like that he doesn't have a lot of wiggle room. You know, if he does struggle, he doesn't strike out to make up for stuff. It's a Diamondbacks team that's probably not gonna like get you a whole bunch of extra wins. It's a pretty tough division in general if you're not everybody but the Rockies. So
balanced schedule this year. You're playing less of those guys though. So that's
That's true. That's a good point. Yeah, I think he's fine. Again, this comes back to what I said before. All of these Diamondbacks, even when we're like, they're all just cheap. They're all just like a good cost. Yeah. So why would you not want a guy that can go 200 innings and what definitely beat every expectation across the board? I think it's gonna be pretty tough to reach those expectations again, 13 wins and whatnot. But like I said, he has a lot of the makings of not giving up hard hits, lowering the home run rate, and you have a great defensive team. That's maybe something we're not talking about here. You got a great defensive team, a fast outfield, Christian Walker. If Nick Ahmed is out there, a great defensive infield, Ketel Marte is out there. I think that plays a little bit of a role in it as well. And there's a little bit of a floor. I just think he's a great piece to like put in your rotation, no matter what you've done in your draft. So take those cheap arms and Merle should be one of them.
Merle. Okay. We'll make this simple of going from Merle to Madison Bumgarner. It's another from Cowboy to Cowboy. Yeah. Hey, both of you. This is my Mason show, so I can do whatever the hell I want.
I'd rather have Mason Saunders than Madison Bumgarner.
So are we just out on Madison? Let's make it quick and simple.
Yeah.
I just had to ask.
He's a Giants legend. Like, I understand you sticking up for him and everything.
No, I don't want to draft him. Just asking because he's the number three on roster resource for you guys. And I just want to clarify what's going on here.
How many times you drafted him in your best balls?
None.
Zero. Okay. All right,
I won't touch him.
And that's a hero to you. He's got you three World Series and you're not.
He was great in orange and black. Sucks in red and whatever.
He could be a hero. Just for one day. That's Madison. What? Just for one day, he could be a hero. Day. Not
yes. And he was. He was a hero for about 4 days in seven games. Let's talk about a couple youngsters, though, and Ryan Nelson and Dre Jameson, two guys that I really struggle with, but I'm intrigued by come draft day. So, Welsh, how are we viewing these two? Because Dre came up last year. I think he made his debut on one of the Fantasy Pro shows we did together. And we were talking about him facing the Dodgers or something.
Yeah.
You got Ryan Nelson doing his thing. It's like there's a lot of upside, but they're still young. There's probably some warts to worry about. So, how do you see these two?
You know, it was actually funny because you filled in with me. He had had his first start and it was awesome. And you and I were like, he's got the Dodgers. No, thanks. Yeah. And he ended up slaying. I think Dre Jameson did the same thing. One thing I'm annoyed with is the Diamondbacks are giving that dirtbag Zach Davies any opportunity. He's such a scumbag that he didn't
respond to their text about.
Well, he responds to their text. He responds to Derek Hall and Torrey Lovello, but not his wife. So he's a dirtbag, and they're giving him, like, they've anointed him the fourth spot. And I think that kind of stinks.
The silent assassin.
Yeah, because what that does is that only puts one rotation spot open for Ryan Nelson or Dre Jameson. And I like to see them both in there. I think it's going to be hard for this team to not put Ryan Nelson in there. I think he's a little bit more of a pitcher's pitcher, if you will. I mean, he had a like 1.47 ERA, which is absurd when he was up here, but like a good, and his xFIP was like in the fours. So that just wasn't viable, but wasn't giving up home runs. It doesn't walk a whole bunch, which I think really works in favor. Good arsenal of pitches. Dre Jameson is more electric, and he's got a big power slider combination, but I think the control and the command might be some of the problem. That I think they're going to go with Ryan Nelson, who can eat up a little bit more innings, and Dre's not going to get that opportunity to start, which I kind of hate. There's a possibility that they could even throw Dre into like a long inning relief role, I think is a possibility. Most likely send him to AAA just to extend the innings out. But I think Ryan's going to win this job. But long term, Dre Jameson, if he's a starter, he's a fantasy guy. This is a high K player. And even maybe down the road, if he pulls an Archie Bradley or something like that and just can't work innings and can't command pitches, hopefully doesn't crap his pants on the mound, but he might be able to be a closer.
Hey, what about you, Boggs? How do you feel about these two potentially?
I like them both. I'm with Welsh here. I wish that Davies was not on this team and not an option. He's just there to eat innings and hope that you can keep your bullpen somewhat stretched out and he can get to six every night. You know what I mean? And you're not just taxing those guys back there who are already not good every single night. So that's why Davies is in there, just because he's a veteran, which leaves one spot for these guys. But, you know, you could see it by June 1st. Both of them in the rotation, Madison Bumgarner has been cast asunder. So that is what I hope for at some point, that the Diamondbacks just realize, look, Madison is throwing BP fastballs down the middle. We cannot do this anymore. So we got to get him out and get somebody else in. I think Brandon Pfaadt is obviously, you know, a potential to come in and take a spot as well. So I think all of those guys are going to get starts, but it makes it hard for fantasy. You know, like we said, because we don't know what it's going to open with right now. I mean, you know, Bumgarner could be in the bullpen and, you know, it would just be tough.
You have said this for like 3 years and I'm not against you on it, but it's like the team doesn't do it. Like we always like this dude's throwing 89. He pumps it down. He's angry. He's pissed off all the time. He's always.
Yeah. But now they could cut him and eat the money. Like when is this point they finally can.
When is it
done? After this year, I think.
Not soon enough.
Is this final year?
It's either this year or next year.
I got it right here.
Yeah, I feel like it's two more years. I just don't think they will. I think they are committed.
You cannot give that loser 30 starts again.
He's a free agent in 25.
Okay, there you go. Even worse, Bogman.
It's only 14, how much money only is 14 it? Mil next year.
That's what it is. It was 30 million or whatever the last couple years.
23 this year, 14 next year.
Yeah, that's so actually more likely next year.
That's cheap for a third or fourth starter.
If they move him to the bullpen and he throws a big stink about it, they might just end up cutting him because they got to do it at some point. It's going to happen at the end of this year at worst. So it may just be one of those things where he goes in vacations or whatever and the Diamondbacks bring up somebody else.
That's been the thing I've said forever. Here's the deal. There is 0.0% chance that guy, if he's out of the rotation, he's not coming to the ballpark. He's that type of personality. There is 100%. No chance he graciously takes that and moves to a bullpen role. I don't know why you would want him in a bullpen role. He is either a starter or he's off this team. And the Diamondbacks have to reckon with that with their money. Do they want to eat $14 million next year? Can they convince another? Can they get a stretch where Bumgarner's okay and they can convince a team, which you probably have to pay a prospect? Hey, we'll give you a prospect and you got to eat some of this money for next year.
Deal all over again.
Yeah, I don't know. But the problem is he is rotation or bust for this team. And they've proved it year in and year out with that garbage contract. So he's just dead weight.
Let's talk bullpen now. If you go to the roster resource, you have five closers potentially. Mark Melanson just came out and said he deserves to be the closer. And I made me think of Bogman
what?
Immediately.
Based on what?
Made me think of Bogman. It's an interview he did. Made me think of you immediately, Bogman. If you look at roster resource, we've got Andrew Chafin, who they just signed, Kevin Ginkle, Mantiply, who we all thought last year didn't really make it work, Melanson, Miguel Castro. Castro and Ginkle are the youngest. They might be the ones that get screwed out of this deal. But you know, Boggs, I'll start with you. How would you foresee it instead of, or just don't touch a reliever period probably, but how would you go about the closing situation?
Yeah, you don't take one of these losers. I'll say, I think Melanson starts with the job so that if he's good and the Diamondbacks aren't, they can trade him and get something for him. So at least display him as a potential option. You put him back there in the ninth. And look, there's one thing we know, you don't want that guy in a leverage situation because all he does is throw 91 down the middle. So, you know, maybe that'll work in the ninth when you're up by three runs and you can, you have a little wiggle room, but you don't want him in leverage at all. So I think you stick him in the ninth and hope it works out for the first couple months. And then you can maybe deal him and get anything, a bucket of baseballs, whatever it is, get it back. And then put somebody else in here. I think if I had to pick a guy to lead this team in saves right now, it would probably be Andrew Chafin. And I'm not very happy about it.
I like Chafin. He's not too bad. And he's a different colored version of you, Boggs. So you got that.
Yeah, he's been with the Diamondbacks.
Different hair color.
Yeah. Oh, that's what you meant. Yeah,
hair color. Easy. Yeah. Still a family show somewhat.
Do you know what the nickname we have for Andrew Chafin? Have you ever heard that?
Chafing his pants.
Balls chafing.
Oh, it's close. Chafing. I knew we were going
he didn't throw strikes when he was a Diamondback, so we called him Balls Chafing.
I figured. What do you think about the bullpen, Welsh?
I agree. I think Melanson's the guy who's going to get the start. Old school mentality of managers and stuff like that. I'll tell you this, though. My vote has been Kevin Ginkle. I think that's the guy. Kevin Ginkle put some more juice on that slider this past year. He can drive up that fastball, averages 96. He increased the slider by 2 miles per hour. And the thing I love the most, too, ground ball rate. Just huge increase, almost 8%, up to 50% ground ball rate. That's something you would dig in a closer. Good slider fastball combo, ground ball pitcher on a great defense. I would say that is exactly what you want. Joe Mantiply is the best pitcher. And here's why I think he's an option is because of Andrew Chafin. They didn't have another lefty in the bullpen. And I thought it would be really hard for them to justify putting anybody in that closer spot if you had no other lefties. So I actually think Chafin gives them the opportunity. So I think it's Melanson to start. I think Ginkle leads the team in saves. And I think the highest upside, if they were really smart, it's Joe Mantiply, that would be the guy. Because I think he's the best reliever on that team. Chafin's cool. Miguel Castro's cool. I don't know. I don't really see any of them doing it. I think it's impossible to figure this out. But it'll be Melanson to start. And then God knows when they're going to turn it over. But my bet is on Kevin Ginkle.
Fun times, so much fun. Let's talk prospects for the 2023 season that'll have a fantasy impact for this year. Welsh, we got Brandon Pfaadt. You mentioned Jordan Lawler potentially. What are we thinking here of guys that are worth it for fantasy this year?
So, Corbin Carroll, Dill's technically a prospect, but not what we're talking about.
We don't consider him that when he's getting drafted in the top 100.
Yeah, when you're drafted in like the top 75 or something like that. Yeah, so the guys that I think that are could potentially come up, just real quick, Dre Jameson, we talked about, he'll make some type of impact. Brandon Pfaadt would be the most exciting, led the minors, all of minor league baseball in strikeouts of all pitchers. No pitcher went more six innings or more than Brandon Pfaadt last year. Got a great arsenal of pitches. He's one of the best pitchers in baseball, and it's just unheralded.
Already better than Madison Bumgarner.
Way better than Madison
Bumgarner. Set that bar high there, Boggs. Set it real high.
He will get run at some point this year. Just don't know what it's going to look like. And Jordan Lawler is someone to keep a look at. They already pushed him to Double-A. He played in the Arizona Fall League. He got set back a little bit by an injury, but I believe he's back out working in spring training. If I kind of don't think they're going to be aggressive, and I think they're going to go Double-A to Triple-A, we'll have to see what this team does. Corbin Carroll gives them that extra rookie thing. I think Lawler will be up at some point. I really don't think it's going to be before July. So it's probably someone you're just going to have to like monitor Fab with. But when he comes up, he's a five category player. Other potential guys are most likely pitchers. Tommy Henry is someone that was in the rotation a little bit this past year. But for guys that are going to impact right now, I think that's it. They got a little slew of guys that are coming soon. Landon Sims would be one of those players I would tell you about. But for this year, Brandon Pfaadt and Jordan Lawler, probably the two impact guys that haven't already made an appearance at the major league level.
Anybody else we've missed, Boggs, throughout the entire episode that you think is going to have an impact for the D-backs this year?
No. I mean, I will say this. I think I'm going to miss Greg Schulte. This is going to be Greg Schulte's last year in the booth as the radio.
Explain that. Yeah, I was about to say, most people don't know about Greg Schulte.
Yeah, Greg Schulte has been calling Diamondback games since 1998 on the radio. I've listened to him my whole life here, and going to be his last season. So that's a guy I'll mention that we have not talked about yet. But yeah, we hit all the prospects. We hit the lineup. I think that's everyone that can make an impact, you know, unless the Diamondbacks, of course, make a trade or something. So, you know, we'll see. It's Corbin Carroll and everybody else, pretty much. So,
do they finish at least 500 this year?
The D-backs finish over 500?
No.
I mean, we're pessimistic. I'm going to say no.
I know you guys are. I should have known before I even asked that
question. But it's close. It should be close, and they can. But the bullpen has to it was literally the worst bullpen in the league last year. So the staff isn't bad. The lineup is decent. Tough division, like the Welsh mentioned. But they can. But I would say they're a year away from doing that.
There were rumors that the Diamondbacks were interested in like Xander Bogaerts and Carlos. I mean, I don't know if it's Carlos Correa, but like Xander Bogaerts, like they had real interest. If they could go and get a big impact bat to kind of help, I think that could put them in another level. But the bullpen sucks. The offense is, it's dicey.
Middling.
It's middling. Well, also like for all the pieces to be working right now. So hitting over 500, I think, is going to be pretty difficult. One guy I wanted to throw out as far as like any other players, watch out for Pavin Smith. I think Pavin Smith is going to be annoying this year because I think Pavin Smith might be a guy that could take some time away across the board. He could play some first. He could play some left. I could see him DHing. The team just really likes him because he was a good, he's always been a really good contact hitter.
He's hurt like all year last year too.
Yeah. And a lot of injuries too. I mean, I want to say like Kyle Lewis, but he's just always hurt. And there's plenty of other injuries. Pavin Smith might be like an NFBC, like really deep league player that if someone goes down, I think he would be one of the first players to get run. But I also think he's going to just be annoying because he's going to take time away. We're already looking at like Lourdes and Longoria kind of throwing a wrench into stuff. I think Pavin Smith is going to be another one of those guys where we're like, Jesus, like Alec Thomas isn't out there because they want to put Pavin Smith out in left field. Like, watch out for that. I think that's going to happen.
Lovely. That's so much fun. And to like, Pavin Smith's a guy I've rostered a lot back a couple years ago when he was playing just because he played all the time. So sure. I could see some appeal there if he does get some run. Wouldn't break my heart, especially in those deep rounds. Good call on that one. As we sign off here, gentlemen, remind everybody where they can find you and all the good stuff you got going on.
Go ahead, Bogman.
At Bogman Sports, obviously. I have way less, so mine is much easier. The ITL Baseball pod with the Welsh, of course. Fantasy Pros Dynasty Fantasy Football pod with Pat Fitzmaurice. War Room with CK. CFB Winning Edge. Just follow me at Bogman Sports. You'll see all my stuff.
InThisLeague.com, the Patreon. We have a Patreon. People want to come and hang out. That's where our redraft ranks live. My prospect top 500, my dynasty list lives. I have a prospect ADP that I've done. We do a lot of other unique things. We have GroupMe rooms where you can hang out with our community, us, and a ton more. We have like live mock drafts we do. So if people are interested in that, it's like the best way to also support independent podcasters. I think you should support Bubba. And if you want to support us, go to InThisLeague.com. And then, yeah, like I'm on like just a lot of podcasts right now. So never feel shy of saying something nice on Twitter. Like, oh man, I love the Welsh on Rates and Barrels. Or man, CBS is so great when the Welsh is on. Never shy away from doing
and
that.
And call him like prospect guy when you do it too. Yeah, just my sure. favorite hey, prospect guy is the Welsh. Just say that.
Guy. And he'll absolutely guy. Love it. Hey guy. Yeah.
Big guy, prospect guy. Big that's guy. What I call him.
Big prospect guy. That's what he is. Big prospect guy. But these are two of the best guys out there, folks. So make sure you check out all their work. Good friends of mine. Good friends of the fantasy world. Even if they want to be narcissistic and say they're not. So make sure you follow Boggs on Twitter at Bogman Sports and Welsh. Is it the Welsh? Gentlemen, thanks for joining me. I truly appreciate it.
Thanks, Bugs.
You got it, Bob.
All right, Bench with Bubba, your Arizona Diamondbacks season preview. Catch y'all next time.
Fun way to win up to 25 times your money this football season? Test your skills on Prize Picks, the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projection for a wide variety of statistics, and place your entry. It's as easy as that. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $250 with just a few taps. Easy gameplay, quick withdrawals, and an enormous selection of players and stat options are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Ready to test your skills? Join the Prize Picks community of more than 7 million football fans who have already signed up. Right now, Prize Picks will match your first deposit up to $100. Just visit prizepicks.com/get100. And use code GET100. That's code GET100 at prizepicks.com/get100 for a first deposit match up to $100. PrizePicks, daily fantasy sports made easy.